This is Barbara Solarius with Wrangell St. Elias National Park and Preserve, and I'm here with Gillum Joe, and we're in Gillum's home in Chistochina, and it's April 21st, 2016. And I'm especially interested in talking to you today, Gillum, about your work with the hunting guides, but also interested in hearing about your life a little more generally. So could you start by talking about who your parents and grandparents were?
I was raised up by Bill, Joe, and Maggie. Originally, my dad is Houston Sanford, and my mom named Susie. And they all passed away. And Bill, Joe, and Maggie raised me up, and they raised me up. They were the old timers, you know, and they raised me up. Old timer way on how to respect animals and stuff like that, or how to hunt, fish, trap. I learned all that living with them.
When
I went to, I became a hunter when I was nine, I think.
So I forgot to ask when and where you were born.
I was born in Shoshana. I came down to Chistochina in 1952. That's when Bell, Joe, and Maggie took me.
And how old were you then? When were you born?
46.
You were born in
1946.
So how old were you when you went to live with Bell and Maggie?
Probably when I was about four.
Okay.
Five, somewhere. Because 52, how old would I be from 46 to 52?
More like, yeah, five or six.
Yeah. And I went to school here, and I went to school at Kona. I went to Catholic school in Glen Allen, and I didn't finish high school. I just finished grade school.
So sixth grade?
I went to Catholic school in 4 to 6, I think. And
okay.
The rest, I finished up here.
Here being Chistochina?
Chistochina, yeah. That's when I created some school. And then I hunt, trap, fish with my dad, Bill Joe. He took me out in the woods when I was, 13, 14. He left me there. He said, see how you do, you know. And he said, you think you can stay here? I says, yeah. And when the night come, I can hear all the boogeymen out there. But I had to learn the tough way. The hard way, but I learned. He told me I need to catch beaver, and I didn't catch beaver. It didn't work. He came back and showed me where I went wrong. He teach me as I go, and he said, "See, this is how you catch them, you know." He come back from work, come up there, and left me there one night. Next day he came back with his snow machine. He says, well, he teach me how to go. He teach me where I go wrong, you know. I learned all that. When I got to old enough to do other things, I do it myself. And I do good. And I think I killed a moose when I was 11, I think, maybe.
Your first moose?
The first moose, yeah. And
was there anything special?
Everybody helped me. Well, I had to give all that meat away. It's a legend. You're like, first kill, you got to give it all away for good luck.
Do you give it to, and is there anyone particular
you
give it to?
You give it to older elders. And they bless you that way. And then I did mostly all that, and then I passed, and I did a lot of fishing with them. Fish camp. They have fish camp, they got moose camp, they got winter. They stay here winter, but they go on trapping area too. When they create snow machine, they all do it from right here.
So when did people start having snow machines?
Snow machine? Gee, I don't know when our first Arctic cat came up with a chain on. I don't know.
You don't remember how old you were?
I don't remember. But he worked for the stage.
So Bell had besides doing the subsistence lifestyle. So it sounds like he had a job.
He got a state job, truck driver and laborer, snow plow, winter job, summer job. He worked year round, and then still have time to take me out, show me everything.
And how about Maggie? Did she
We go out muskrat trapping. We go out hunting all the time. A lot of help to her.
What did she hunt?
She hunt just like other people. Moose, caribou. And she showed me how to preserve it, how to cut it, how to put it away. Same way with fish, you know. They showed me how to cut it, put it, preserve it. And them days, you don't have no refrigerator, you know.
So what did you do?
In summertime, he told me when she buy some groceries, he said, we don't have a refrigerator. He told me, dig down the ground. There's a lot of permafrost in it. And we hit permafrost, and we put a board over it, and we put all the stuff in there, keep it chill. And then a lot of the other stuff we just cut and dry, so it'll be dry. You know?
Keeps that way.
But the food we keep in the ground that we have for breakfast and stuff like that. But preserve stuff like that, we got fish rack, we put a fish rack on top. And then I learned all that. And then I went to work teaching a lot down there when this lady was down there named Elizabeth Hickett. I was working around the lodge.
So what kinds of things were you doing for the lodge?
Oh, just gas pump, clean up, paint, you know.
General kinds of things. Yeah. And how old were you when you went to work for the lodge?
It was just low pay because I wasn't old enough to get on Social Security yet. But that's where Carol Neely signed me up for Social Security. And then...
But about how old were you?
I think it was 64 when I was ready to go up. I went back to Susanna, 64. She had a boyfriend who was dating from Susanna, but tickets her. He came to land here and took stuff back.
What was his name again?
But tickets her. That's Terry Orley's stepfather. And then I went up, she says, where are you from? I said, Susanna. I says, where are you born? Susanna. I told her. He said, would you like to go back up there and work with us? And then we have some hunters and fall time. We'll pay you $400 a month, you know.
$400?
Yeah. And in hunting time. And he said, we'll teach you how to become a guide, you know. I'm already a hunter. I'm already all that. I already know that, you know. But the only thing I need to know is bear, sheep, and I know how to respect a bear too. And when I got up there, I met Terry Overly. And I met him before, but I really didn't.
You hadn't spent so much time with him.
And I asked him where originally from. He said California, but all her family, all. His family is from, where did Chickasaw Indian come from?
Southeast.
Chickasaw Indian, what he is. And we worked together for a long time, and everything looked the same when I left when I was a kid. When I left there.
In Shoshana.
People were dying off of tuberculosis. Disease.
Right.
And, there's some few minor people still there. When I came out of there when I was a kid, I don't remember, but I stayed in the basement for 2 years. I stayed at Picker Lake for all winter, and then I stayed in the basement for 2 years. And then Usti brought me down here at 52. That's when Belle and Maggie took me. And then I raised up mostly down here. And then I went back to Shanna.
And that was 64?
64. And Terry was already up there. He was up there. He went up there in 59 or 60.
Now, was he a guide then, or was it his...
He was just a teenager, too.
Okay.
He was working then.
Uh-huh.
But Hickerson was teaching him.
Okay, so this, you were working with the same guide.
Yeah, me and him worked, we put together.
Uh-huh.
And then from there on, we kind of raised up together, you know, like brothers. And we did a lot of things, we did. And start to hunt, you know, hunting season come.
Mm-hmm.
I knew all. I didn't know how to cape then, you know.
Okay.
I had to learn how to cape.
Mm-hmm.
I went out with Bud Powell, and I went out with another guy. Terry went out. Terry is a little older than I am, you know. He's about 3 or 4 years older than I am. When he got to 19, he was a guide.
Uh-huh.
Or 18 or something like that. And then he became a guide. And then we went out hunting together a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned about sheep, I learned about how to cape. But I was already a moose hunter, mm-hmm, and caribou hunter, you know.
So this was where you learned to hunt sheep and bear? That was something new for you?
Hunting is not new.
Right, but hunting those animals.
But the animal, like riding a horse, go up there, look for sheep and bear.
Uh-huh.
Moose is a little easier for me then.
Right.
Because I already did moose and caribou.
Mm-hmm.
And bear, I'm kind of afraid of, because I was supposed to carry a backup gun and I didn't have one.
Uh-huh.
But Terry gave me one, so in case I need a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught me a lot. I go out with Bud, I go out with Terry.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of learn as I go.
Uh-huh.
And they had a horse there, a young horse, and there was a mare, and never been rode before.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and rode around for a while, and he said, "You ever ride a horse?" He says, "No." He says, "Well, this horse never rode, and you never ride a horse. You guys get together, see who broke who."
What happened?
I rode him. I broke. I fell in. Yeah, I got bucked off every single day. Down the trail, up the trail, creek, down the creek, in the creek. But I keep on going back on. He said, "Just climb back on." that fall, I thought, "Hey, I got it broken. He's not dropping me off yet." And then Yellow Jack stung her. And,
oh, no.
I flew in the air and flew right off. But after that, I was a horseman. He said, "You learn fast." He said,
"Uh-huh."
He said, "You know, you're a good hunter." And he told me, he said, "Yeah, I had an old timer teach me." He said, "And I learned how to cape. I learned fast." And then Elizabeth and Bud told Terry, he said, "He's way better than you are." And Terry is pretty good too, you know. But I learned from the old timers.
So mm-hmm.
I gave them a credit, you know, old timers that teach
for learning how to hunt.
Yeah. And they learn how to survive. They tell me their stories how you heard people talk about Engie, eh?
Mm-hmm.
They tell me about those things, and you gotta respect them. Otherwise, they'll shy away from you. You can be the number one guide, and then you try to talk about them, you will never get them. You know. You'll have a problem with them. So I respect a lot of these Engie. So I've become a guide in Trishana.
So were you, like, registered with the state as a guide?
When I become old enough to get licensed,
uh-huh,
I had assistant guide license.
Okay.
And then I went guiding for Pine Earthquarter for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed there.
So like
I told my family, I said, "I feel like I came home. I want to stay up there." I stay up there through the winters, summers. I come out and visit them once in a while.
Right.
But then I come out go summer job sometime too.
Uh-huh.
I do firefighting.
Okay.
And then I work. As I go, I work for Simon Graph Oil Company and something, mm-hmm, like that. And I became a pretty good guy to you. He told me, I said, you're good. You're really good. I think you're number one. But I had a lot of hunters. If they don't get anything, they're going home happy anyway. You know,
they had a good experience.
Usually it's their problem. You know, they start getting picky,
mm-hmm.
and then they get picky, and then they end up with nothing. But I try to treat them real good, give them good hunt. And on the end, I told them, you know, it's too bad we didn't get him. We could have got the first one, with, you know. And then, you know, but some hunters you cannot please, you cannot satisfy them. You can do your best you can, you can't satisfy them. I see that everywhere. You mean no work, no slope? You can put the best meal out there and they still complain.
So you worked up on the slope too?
Yeah. 84, I went up. 84, I give up guiding.
Okay, so
my leg. 77 when I lost my leg.
Uh huh.
I tried to guide. I climbed a mountain.
Uh huh.
I got a sheep for a hunter. On one leg, I mean I had, but it was hard for me to come down. I can go up easy, but coming down, it was
too
hard.
To come
yeah. Down. And anyway, this guy wrote an article on the sheep hunt we had.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Wyoming, and he wrote an article about one-leg sheep hunter. And
do you have a copy of it?
No, I did, but I don't know.
You lost it.
Yeah. And then I gave it up. No, 83 I gave it up.
Uh-huh.
84 I went food service training.
Okay.
And I go back up every once in a while. I go back up. And then one time I ended up North Slope.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed there.
And how many years?
I stayed there for almost 8 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I came back 91 back to Anchorage. And then I told my doctor, he says, I'm having a problem with my leg. And he says, you look at it, he says, there's a problem with your leg. Is we have to re-break the bone and see if we can grow the stump 2.5 inches more, that way I'll hold on better. He said, in 6 months, 9 months, you can go back to work.
Uh-huh.
And when the 9 months went by, his company called me and said, we can't hold nothing open. We have to get you another job. Take another person that job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they disabled me. The mm-hmm. doctor said, okay, we're wrong. They disabled me and I says, you know, you guys told me this. And so the doctor signed paper and really disabled me. I said, I think I shouldn't go back to work. But they fixed my leg back up. They grew the leg 2.5 inches. Take 9 months to grow that long. Take 9 months to get a bone hard. Altogether, it takes 2 years. I said, it takes 2 years. I said, we make mistakes too, you know. And anyway, they made it so good now I can go back to work. I couldn't go back to work. I mean, it's hard to get back on after that. So I came back here in the village, and they says, well, you got nothing to do. Become a board member. There, I'm a board member.
For the council, village council.
And, yeah. And then I become a board member, and then I'm stuck here now. And, anyway, my hunting is... My guiding is, I learned from the pioneers were mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to work for, I want to try a different company. I told Pine Earthwood, I want to try a different company.
Right.
I went to Butt Congo.
Uh-huh.
They got horses too.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was a snag worker. I got 40-inch ram there and big moose. And... I got some pictures somewhere I have to show you that one.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah. And then I got done with them that 1 year. And I got back and then I tried Ron Hayes do over here.
Mm-hmm.
I took his horse across Copper River.
Did you make it?
Yeah, I took all six of them across.
Uh-huh.
And by myself.
Fall time?
Yeah, before hunting season. I took him up on the hill and he's, okay, I want you to get that little cat engine for me. And on. I went over there and dismantled the cat engine for him and I packed it to the little airport over there on the hill.
Uh-huh. Over and, across the river.
Yeah. And then he said, I'll pay you a certain journey if you guide for me. And when it come that time, he said, I can't pay you that much. Okay, take me home, I said. So he brought me back and he said, teach this kid how to take care of horses. So I told him, well, it's hard. You can't teach somebody that. I mean, you gotta learn that. You gotta learn yourself. So I came back here and I went back to Shannon and died up there.
Working for Pioneer Outfitters again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I kind of switched around.
Move around, yeah.
And, I usually go back to Pioneer Outfitter.
Mm-hmm.
And they take me anytime, you know, it's kind of just a family deal.
Uh-huh.
You know? And then and next year, and I thought, he brought the horses back. They lost them all in Copper River. They have the bigger rope tied. They tied saddle to saddle.
Uh-huh.
I tied mine to tail, and a skinny rope.
Mm-hmm.
When one horse rolls over, it'll break the rope.
Mm-hmm.
It won't take you all.
Doesn't take them all down.
Yeah. And they brought them back, and the kid made it out, but they lost all the
horses. Lost the horses.
They start rolling. And it was kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he blamed me. And I said, well, that's too bad. You didn't pay, you didn't come up with your payment. I said, he said, I lost all six horses. I said, well, I can't help you. You told me you was going to pay this much. All of a sudden, you changed your mind. You're going to pay them. And I said, Pioneer Outfitters pays me top money.
Uh-huh.
$250 a day for guide. So that was a word, and I went. I told Pioneer Outfitters, I said, I'm going to try one season. I said, with Ken Bunch. I went with Ken Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you heard of Ken Bunch, huh?
I think so.
I work with Lee Holding, too.
Uh-huh.
Over Cop Lake. Over
right.
Black Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Packer, I was Packer.
You were Packer. So what different kinds of things? It sounds like you've done a bunch of different jobs working with the hunting guides.
Yeah, I work because I want to know.
You want to understand the whole business?
The whole business.
Mm-hmm.
That time, after I was done with King Bunch, I didn't like his area, so I quit that. And then I worked for Alice for once.
For who?
Short, Bill Ellis.
Bill Ellis, okay.
Airplane.
Yeah.
I don't care too much airplane, but packing is not my thing. Horses is my thing.
Okay, so you...
I like Bud Kunkel and Pine Arch.
Mm-hmm.
I work with King Bunch. Not Ken Bunch. What's that, Shoshana, that Pioneer, up to Bob? What was his name? I wouldn't want to sell that place. My grandpa's land, my grandpa's house.
McNutt.
McNutt. He worked with him one hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
And he was ripping me off, so I quit. And then went back to Pioneer Outfitter. So.
When you say he was ripping you off, what did he do?
He told me he was going to pay you this much, and he didn't. He says, just so. And
didn't pay what he said
I'm
he would.
I'm kind of like a professional. I'm mm-hmm. good. You know, he knows I'm good. And he said, he started changing the wages. And so I said, no. He says, I don't like that kind of deal. So I left.
Mm-hmm.
He went through a lot of guides, and anyway, after I got done with all that outfit that I work with, I figured only two outfits, true and best hunters, Pine Outfitter and Bud Kunkel.
Uh-huh.
The rest, plain hunters and all that, they waste a lot of meat, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're I pack one hind leg out for that one guy at Cop Lake, I mean, by that Black Mountain.
So Lee Holen?
Lee Holen. I packed one leg on. It was big, you know, and he said, that's good enough. Throw me in the van, left the rest out there. And then I worked for this guy I took horse for, Ron Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real crooked guy, too. You know, he says, well, just grab your meat and then grab the horn and come back. You know, and I didn't like his deal. So then, same way with Ken Bunch, you know. They fly all over the place to hunt. And we landed that lake, that Blue Lake. We got one sheep out of there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'll go back, grab the rest. He said, no, let's go. Climb clean and all that. You know, I don't like it, but I can't do anything, but I work with them, you know,
mm-hmm.
to see what the system was. But the two outfit that takes everything out is Bud Conkle and Overly mm-hmm. right now. And, you know, that's good stuff, but it kind of hurt me, you know. And then when I gave up guiding, and I don't guide anymore, subsistence hunters think I go, you know, and I pick up meat, preserve it, and fill up this, and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But hunting is very special thing for kids to learn, I think. To learn how to survive out of them. And a lot of these pine outfitters, some are good, some are just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. So, you know, airplane hunt is when I'm against that.
Uh-huh.
Like down here, they fly across the river over there and get away with it, you know. And I sit there, and this one guy was sitting there. He says he was trying to look at my land over there. He said he was sitting there. A guy came out with a sheep, grabbed a sheep horn, and put a sheep horn in it. And there was no meat. He says, how come? Where's the meat? They probably left it out there. Yeah. They should watch you all the time, you,
mm-hmm.
know, you guys. Because sometimes one plane come in, and that kid that fly around, you know, what's his name? Yellow plane.
I don't know the plane colors.
He's a guy too.
Don McMahon?
Kukuna. Who?
McMahon? No.
No, no. McMahon? Chuck. His name Chuck?
Well, and Johnny.
McMahon. Yeah, he's good.
Down at Kukuna.
Yeah, he's good. He flies. He landed on a float plane down there, this lake here.
I'm not sure where he lands.
I met him this fall. But he make agreement with us.
Uh-huh.
And some of them is, he just do it because, you know, he used this area, he used that lake up there.
So what kind of agreement?
He write a letter to us say that he wants a hot on the land, Christian land, you know,
mm-hmm.
or bring all the meat out and give it to elders.
Okay, so that the agreement is he could use the land and,
yeah.
he would
and then
bring,
he gets,
bring the meat yeah. back to the village.
And then he gets permit from Atna
mm-hmm.
and Trisha Chena permit. And but there's other people that flies in here.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't do that. They just sneak in, go fly over there, and the guy come back and then just pick him up and then there's just a
mm-hmm.
So it's just that my hunting, my guiding, I learn as I go. You know, I learn from the old-timers
mm-hmm.
first, and just work right in the guiding. I work with old people up there, Shoshana,
mm-hmm.
that had outfit. They teach me how to work with horses.
So you worked with the horses? You talked about packing?
I like horses.
Uh-huh.
I learn how to pack horse, teach horse, all up in Shoshana.
Uh-huh.
With Terry Overly stepfather,
mm-hmm.
but Hickety. And then he thought I was good. I said, you learn fast. You know? He said, you're a good hunter too. You know? I said, I learned from the good people. So.
And then were there other things you did? So you worked with the horses. You talked about packing the meat. You talked about working with the hunters. Were there other
hundred
other pieces of the guiding
business. Yeah, I worked with a lot, and I listened to them.
Uh huh.
And sometimes you have to do, you know, almost wipe their butt. I think, you know, but you just
they need a lot of
attention for them, and then they want to know a lot of things. I tell them what I know, you know. Like this one hunter from New York, he says, I hear a lot about muckluck. He says, what is warmer, muckluck or snowshoe? I had to take him into Terry Overly's lodge where his museum is, snowshoe hanging on the wall. I told him, this is snowshoe. And he had a muckluck that my mom made for him. I said, this is muckluck. This is warmer, not this one. He looked at me and he just laughed. Well, okay, you're right. Yeah. You know, somebody from way down the States, New York, you know. They read a lot of these magazines. You know.
So they were interested in learning more about life here.
Yeah. And another thing, some of them, this one guy came in. There was no phone. There was no communication. You fly in, you fly out, you know. It's too open for him. He come from small office. What do you call that, people? They can't breathe, they can't do anything. Anyway, he paid for his hunt and laughed.
Oh.
Freak him out, you know.
Being out in the open.
Yeah, it's some people pay a lot of money to come up and they realize they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
A woman came up too. She took him sheep hunting, or another guy took him sheep hunting. I think it was Debbie then.
Uh-huh.
And he said, he pointed at the sheep, they tell her, pull the trigger. He's gonna walk away. Look at it. I can't do it, she said. She put it down, put her gun down, turned her camera, took a picture, and then finally she walked away. She said, all this paper, all on. I can't shoot that sheep. it's too pretty. You know, they'd rather shoot the camera than shoot the gun. Weird, huh, some people? I mean, not weird, but it's the way they are, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of different kind of people that come to Floor 48. And I took a lot of them out.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, before I went to North Slope, that's how I got job pipeline.
Uh-huh.
It was a guy from Denver. He was vice president of oil company. And after he asked me, what are you doing after you're hunting? I said, oh, I go out home. I go home, look for a job. And I came home. I was staying home one day, and my dad says, phone call. I answered to a guy from Anchorage Amoco Oil Company. Gillum, he said, some guy from Denver is a vice president. Wants you to go to work for Simograph looking for oil. When? In 2 days.
Did you go?
Yeah, that's how I got started.
That's how you got that job?
Yeah.
That new career?
New career. And then I asked, who is this guy? He says, you got him a big sheep? I said, yep. You guy got a moose? I didn't get him bear. So he called up here, he want to ask you to put you in and go to work. And actually, we were supposed to go as a line, you know. But we're just taking you straight through. I got airplane ticket and everything, and went right to work. Jump in the helicopter, fly to where the work site is. That's pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need some people like that. I took a lawyer out. I took a judge. I took a policeman. You know. Undercover agent. You got a little bat, you know. I took priests. We have church every Sunday. I'm the only one that he was out of, you know. And then I took a lot of rich people. I get big tip. I make more tip money than my wages. And this one lady keep on coming back a couple of years. She's just getting older. She said, I don't know if I make it this year, but I had my artificial life, and I said, I told her, I only can hunt moose or caribou. Mm-hmm. I mean, moose. Caribou wasn't open then. She came back a couple of years, and then she said, first we got a moose, and second year she's just come back just for nothing, I guess. I don't know. Unless it's a world record, then I'll shoot it, she said.
Uh-huh.
And we ride around, and she's shooting camera. And just, she's rich, and she didn't care. And Terry said, I don't think she'd be back because she's pretty sick, having something like that. So I took a lot of rich people out.
Mostly from the U.S., or did you take people from other countries ever? Lower 48.
I took McNutt, I took a German on her.
Uh-huh. But mostly from the lower 48.
Mostly from the lower 48, yeah.
And did you mostly work with hunting guides in the Wrangells, or did you go to other parts of Alaska?
This is the only part I hunt, just area.
Just around, here in the Wrangells.
Down Chitna and Northway Way and all in the Wrangells.
Mm-hmm.
And I hunt all the way to Whitehorse, almost that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then that guy over there, Rehoy? Is that his name?
Urban Rehoy.
When I was over there, he wasn't there. Me and Butt took a boat or a rubber raft. Uh-huh. He wasn't there then. That was in maybe in 67, 68, mm-hmm. somewhere. And then he's trying to say he's been there a long time. And then, well, that's the way it was, all the crooked guys, you know, they were trying to stretch things. But I went back over there, looked for that raft, that rubber raft we were hiding. It wasn't there, so. And a lot of planes come in there now.
Mm-hmm.
And they land in that North Fork, too, from Susanna to White River. There's a lake there. Mm-hmm. They land there, too. And they were going after that one sheep, one airplane on her. I went over there. I was already on top. And then, what did I do? Oh, the hunter didn't want to see this. So I got, let's just walk around. And that sheep took off, went down the hill, went across. Other side, and the airplane hunters walking up, they spotted me.
Uh-huh.
And you can see where they turned around and went back.
So were you with horses?
I was with horses, mm-hmm. yeah. I had my horse type and brush on this side.
Yeah.
And then I walk up on the hill, and we look at the sheep, but he didn't want it.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't big enough. But it was legal there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I run into that guy, White River, too, I ran into him. What's his name now? And White River, old guy.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm trying to think his name. I ran into him.
Uh-huh.
He said, he landed, shot the caribou.
So another guide?
Another guide from mm-hmm. White River.
Okay.
And he said, what are you doing here? I said, I was born in Susanna and I can hunt anywhere I want to. So he said, get off the horse, I can kick your butt. And I said, I was just ready to get off. And the hunter said, you don't need to do that. You probably work him over. But he said, let's just ride away. And then I told him, you broke the law. You landed and you hunt the same day. And then he says, you Indians, if you're going to be around here, you should be down 4th Avenue, he told me. But I'd like to run into him again, tell him where I'm at. But I run into some people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, my hunting.
Sounds like you had a lot of interesting experiences.
Yeah, I did. I'm kind of real careful, especially when you're out in the woods, mm-hmm. running into somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, gee, I can't think of the name now. You guys go over and check on him sometime. His son's over there.
Is that Vaden?
Vaden, yeah. Dr. Vaden?
Okay.
Yeah. His son, they're all over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's still alive, kicking there. But my hunting is, I retire.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to Shanna and Terry told me, why don't you tell them hunting story? Occupy those hunters. We sit there and talk around, and they just throw words and you know, the street. Why don't you come back? Why don't you go out guiding with us? And, you know, and I says, well, I don't have a license anymore. I went to Tristan. To what they call the other license.
So I know that is there something between.
It's kind of like a registered.
Maybe license. That's what it is. Maybe it's registered guide and then master guide is the highest one.
I went from assistant to
the next one up.
Next one up, like I can take a hunter up by myself.
Uh-huh.
I can go and.
I think it might be registered
assistant,
guide.
Assistant guide can go. With me with, or Terry or...
With somebody else.
Yeah.
But you could go out on your own with the hunters.
I can go out on my own with mm-hmm. And then...
And is that the license you had when you retired?
Yeah. I gave it up 83.
Uh-huh.
And it was too hard for me. I couldn't do it, you know.
Did you hurt your leg in an accident?
I got shot here in the village.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of like an alcohol involved. Mm-hmm. It was like, we all were drinking that day, and guy bought a new gun, looked at it. And the other guy was looking at it, and we were in the backyard shooting targets. And I shouldn't walk out there and visit him. I went out there, and I was standing here. The guy was standing here, and the other guy standing here. They were talking about guns. And I was standing there, and that barrel came down. And that barrel was just, you know. He thought he shot it all off.
Oh, thought it was empty.
He thought it was empty. Well, he was talking, put a trigger. Boom.
Just you know. Playing around with
right
it.
Right down to the skin of my bone here, right down to the ankle.
Uh-huh.
And that was it, man. Took me 11 hours to get to hospital. Could have died, bled to death.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask how your work as a hunting guide related to your subsistence activities.
Hunting, I knew subsistence. Some things I okay with. Like, I think they should stop killing little animals, like little moose.
Because
like, we're getting thinned out, you know. There's a lot of moose on the mountain. There's a lot of big horn
mm-hmm.
up there. But all the road hunts through here, you cannot get no big animal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have much against it, but I think they should slow down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And maybe move it up a little bit, like 40 inch. And at least the little one will get up to rock a little more. You know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah. in terms of your activities,
I don't mind funeral hunt. I mean, longest just single animal.
Uh-huh.
Funeral hunt is okay, but
like for a subsistent,
potlatch. Yeah, subsistent hunt when it's open.
Mm-hmm.
Just hunters everywhere killing anything. You know that's legal. Any moose, any bull is just the one that they should move it up a little bit.
You'd like to see a horn restriction, an antler restriction.
Right. Because even though little horns sticking out like this, there's nothing, you know. I think they should let it grow up a little bit. I think they're 2 years old, right? When they leave their mother. They leave their mother 2 years old.
Okay.
And then they go up three, and they grow horn, they start growing horn. I think they should wait till they're about 4 years old. Because then they're a little bigger then. But we're killing them off like any bull. I haven't get one bull. I mean, every year I never get one. I end up, somebody gave me some, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of friends that hunt. They go, but they have to get 15 inch. You
know? Uh-huh.
And they bring me a hind leg or ribs or something.
Bring you something, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the native, I got a friend, but he died. I probably won't get more meat. Dan Adam from Tetlin.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I get...
He would bring you some.
He gave me, I gave him some fish, he gave me uh-huh. some fish, yeah. We trade.
Yep.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If I can find somebody that way, it'd be good, you know. I... subsistence is more... I think we should learn more about it, plan more about it, and even the bird hunt, you know, duck hunt. I think that we shouldn't have it in May. They're having the eggs and, you know,
uh-huh.
come back. I don't know why they open it in May. But myself, I'm not much duck hunter, but my wrong dad told me about duck fall hunt. Best time to hunt duck, you know. And then springtime, you can make sure when you take your eggs, just leave one or two, no?
Don't take them all.
You gotta touch it like this, take it off. Mm-hmm. Don't touch the grass, because they'll never come back.
Be very careful when you do collect the eggs.
Mm-hmm. And they eat them like eggs, just like chicken eggs. And usually my dad told me how to hunt certain kind of ducks.
Mm-hmm.
We came up to this one lake, he says, that's why I brought this cloth. He said, we went behind a tree and he put the cloth on a stick and he went like this. And the duck, certain duck come towards it.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And then there's fish. You were telling me about fish. We went up kind of in that area. And I said, what are those fish doing? Why are they hitting you? He said, you don't know that? He said, no. He said, they bump in this light. They're loosening up their eggs.
Uh-huh.
They're banging each other. They just,
mm-hmm.
They're loosening up their eggs so they can come out.
Interesting.
I was giving away my story.
So I had a couple other questions about the sport hunting and the hunting guides. You talked about working with a lot of different guides, mm-hmm. master guides. Were there other Alaska Natives who were working as hunting guides then?
There were, the one I know is, well, they made Charlie a guide for Bud Conkle.
Uh-huh.
And Freddie Nikolai over here, he mm-hmm. guided for Lee. And Danny Thomas from Northway hunted with Pioneer Outfitter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few Native I know, right, I think.
So there were some, but maybe not a lot?
Lena Charlie mm-hmm. hunted with Congo.
Yep, I've interviewed Lena.
Okay. And Bill Joe used to guide for Don Dehart.
Uh-huh.
Wilson guide for his dad, his mm-hmm. stepdad, Calvin.
Right.
Daniel Nikolai worked for some guy on the coast.
Uh-huh.
sometime a guide up here will leave, but to guide for some people on the coast for bear hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Nikolai, the guide for...
Yeah, I've heard about him.
Yeah.
Well, he was out in Shoshana.
He used to travel to Shoshana.
Okay.
I mean, he used to Sanford. He used to travel from White Horse.
Uh-huh.
Pastor. I see their name on a lock.
Uh-huh.
Old cabin.
And was was Johnny Nikolai, was he guiding in Shoshana or was he guiding more over here?
More over here.
Okay.
And Louis Anderson had gotten out for that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he did with them, you know, got way before my time.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't know, you know, I don't, maybe he did, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Never hear him mention it.
Okay.
Know,
so it wasn't just you, there were other people too?
Pioneer Rapids had a lot of different people from Wasilla. I don't know. I forget all their names.
So were the other guides who were working with that you were working with that were there mostly non-native, or a mixture?
It's mixed, but a lot of just people like Ralph Sanford used to guide for King Bunch. He died though.
Uh huh.
Ralph died, you know, a long time ago. He's the one who shot me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But Don Copper, I don't know who. I know some people from down there, guy.
Uh-huh.
I think one of the Lincoln boys guys was somebody on Chitna.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people ask me, you're up guiding again? I said, yeah. Because a lot of people on all over know I'm a guide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you were doing it for quite a long time.
Well, I did it a long time.
Many years.
I did it almost like over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Guide. 83 is my last guide.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you said 64 to 83.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask, so the park was created in 1980. Did that seem to impact the guiding business?
I think so, yeah.
How?
Park Service, it kind of made it hard for us to, you know, they had to go, the guiding people had to go all through the regulation.
Uh-huh.
With you guys. And the last story I told about from Park 4, I forget which one, maybe it was Fishing Game.
Uh-huh.
I said, I think that the Park Service moved back to all the glacier, we can control our own land.
Oh, changing kind of where the boundaries are.
Where the boundaries. Because I went to AFN, and the big boss, you boss, is the big one.
Like the director of the Park Service?
Yeah, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to meet him, but...
Or the regional director.
Too many people.
Uh-huh.
Line up with him already, all over.
When was that?
Last fall, in the AFN convention.
Oh, maybe it was the regional director.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to meet him. I would like to meet with Don Young. I see his, what's her name? What's her name now?
Murkowski?
Murkowski, yeah. I thought she was tall. I said, she's not tall. It looked like on a TV, it looked
in
like
the
she
pictures,
was really tall.
In the pictures, yeah, sometimes that happens. I wanted to ask, since you've been either involved with or watching the guiding business for a long time, how has it changed in the time since you started guiding, would you say?
Well, some are hunters, some against, some are don't.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind old pioneer critters because I raise up there.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind Alice because I know what they're doing. If Bud Kunkel was still alive, I won't mind too because she follows the law. Lee Hancock, he was good too. All these other airplane owners I don't care for. Who destroy the meat, you know. And just go anywhere they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for them. But these are only two outfits left I know of that way. Those people that I would support.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Alice, I know them for a long time. Yeah, I know to get the old man. The kids were small when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
But they respect me pretty good, too. You know, they know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Terry Oley is my other, he's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
We live together almost all the time. And he's a Chickasaw Indian, just like I am. He's supposed to get enrollment here. But I hear Parker was giving him a hard time, And then I talked to him not long ago, and I told him, call a lawyer, get a lawyer. Or go to the Indian Village, because we can enroll them, and go to a AVN convention,
mm-hmm.
bring it up at the other end. Is that my phone?
Is that your phone? You want it?
Yeah. Let me see. No. I'm not going to answer it. Just unplug it.
Okay, now we're back on.
Those two outfits, I have a lot of respect for. But these other outfitters that runs airplane, I don't have no respect for them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if they respect us, well, there's one down here that I care for too. What's his name now? Chuck
mm-hmm.
McMahon? Yeah. Because he deals with us. He tells us what's going on.
Uh-huh.
You know,
comes and talks to you.
Yeah,
and
they come and tell us every year, tell mm-hmm. where he's going to be, what he's going to do. And that's good. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're glad to deal with him because it's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
We're not shutting everything off from anybody. Everybody's got to make money somehow or make a living.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And if they respect animal, that's okay. It's good. And then use it certain way. You bring it down here and give it to the native elders. That's good. You know, he's got family to feed too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have others is out of my book, you know. Just, but I'm not a guide anymore, so I still can complain, though.
Yep. And I just had a couple more questions. Since you've been out on the landscape for a really long time, have you observed changes in the animal populations in your lifetime?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
I kind of worry about the caribou.
Uh-huh. Know?
They're moving different directions. They're moving around more. Different area than they're supposed to,
mm-hmm.
you know. This year, they're all down here. They're all
uh-huh.
down here. They're not up this way. They're all over this way now.
So more down south than up north?
Yeah. You don't see them up there.
Mm-hmm.
They're all crossing down here. And maybe they could all come back across this way. I don't know. They're just, they're different now.
You know? Uh-huh.
I don't know. Maybe their weather patterns changing them or...
So not so much their numbers, but where they go. Has changed.
It's just like the ducks.
Uh-huh.
They come back early, and they say, you know, some of them sitting on the ice. It's the weather is changing them too.
Mm-hmm. And, this year or other years?
I seen swan up there 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of really, you know, it's just, they think it's warm already, you know, it's lake open. No, the lake's not even open yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, the rabbit cycle is gone here. They're all up Tetlin, I think that's where all the rabbits are.
Uh-huh.
And most population is down, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's too many hunters. You need more bear, lots of bear everywhere now.
Mm-hmm. Both brown bears or black bears?
Black bear, grizzly bear, all of them in there.
Both kinds.
There are a lot of it around here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because nobody killed it. You know?
Have you seen any this spring?
Yeah, there's two right down by Larry's house. And two down there where that, down coming down the hill, that mile 22.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one black bear down there close to my fish room that pulled over that campground. But they're out. They're all out. I told the kids when they're walking around here, because the bear, I guess they attacked one of them down there, cameraman, who's come after him. I said, I told his kids around here, I said, springtime, they're real hungry. They're real hungry. And they look at you, there's dinner for them. I says, you got to be real careful. You got to look when you walk down that. Look in the woods, watch all the time. You see them, back off and get away. Don't run, because they run, they come after you. But it's that's just the way it is, you know. The wolf are coming closer. They're walking around out here. You know? When the caribou run, wolf run too. You know, to go with them. So the caribou, the moose don't like caribou. They stay away from caribou. They just come literally take off different direction, you know, getting out of their way. Another thing that my dad teach me about caribou is caribou can survive 3-4 days blowing up like this. He told me caribou is not like moose. Moose, it's glowed up and then overnight. No good. She said, she still can use it, she said, but caribou stay fresh for 3-4 days. Before you can cut them up.
Oh, you mean after you hunted them?
Yeah, I mean, they're roadkill like that.
Oh, okay.
I see fishing game. I do weigh a lot of them because overnight it's no good. But I never tell them the secret. I never tell them what I know. The other people say, oh, I'll take it to the dog, you know. But I took one down there they gave me, was there for 2 days. I told Michael about it. We cut it open, I told him, look, everything's fresh, see? It never go in the meat yet. So that's what you need to learn about. If it's killed by something or a truck or something, it's still good for a few more days. I didn't know that, he told me. Another thing I didn't know about is freezer burn. Freezer burn like salmon. Take it out, put it in cold water for 2 days. It soaks all the oxygen back in. Turn all the red again. I didn't know that either. Put lots of ice on there. Guy from Tiana, ocean fisher, telling me. He says, these people throw away all this burn, freezer burn. You can just do this, he told me.
Interesting.
Very good.
So, any other?
I think there's a lot of story, but, you know, it's that.
Well, mostly I wanted to talk to you about the working with the hunters today. So, we can do another story another time, other stories another time. So thank you very much. Appreciate your willingness to talk to me today.
Yeah.